Praise the Lord. The rapture has started. According to the divine timetable, when the rapture will strike, this is how it will happen. If you are listening to me for the first time, we keep saying it in this ministry, repeating it, so that anybody that may be hearing it for the first time, on air, through our broadcast, through our pamphlets, our tapes, anywhere, or you are here even today now, listen, the rapture will not take place like you were taught in your denomination. Not like that. Amen. Somebody send me a text. It's not pastor, it's not sacrilegious for you to say that it was fornication that took place in the Garden of Eden. And what comes to my mind is, the one you believe is the one that one snake tied around one stick and then was offering one naked woman apple in the mouth. That's the one you believe, Abby. Amen. He says sacrilegious. It's not sacrilegious. It's revelation. It's revelation. The rapture will not take place with a confusion anywhere. There will be no confusion. He will come as a thief in the night. By the time you wake up, if a thief visits you, by the time you wake up, your property don't disappear. One of these days, the properties of God on this earth will disappear. Like a thief in the night. And the preparation for the disappearance is on now. It's on now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. This is the process of the rapture. He dropped it there and did not explain anything beyond that. Jesus Christ dropped Matthew 28, verse 19. He did not explain. Go and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He left it there. See confusion on that verse 19 alone. The same thing now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. What did he say? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen. So what is the process? The Lord himself will descend with a shout. It is not that one day the cloud will open and then Jesus will stand up there in the sky. Papa, 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 papa. Oh, somebody, tell your neighbor, it is a mystery. Tell another neighbor, it is a mystery, it is a mystery, it is a mystery. Oh, if not for this message, God attributes we are manifested to his bride in this last age. We have called down revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up our life. And sweet victory is ours. We will change all in the past. So jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our Lord, who's original life. Hallelujah! We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scripture says. Our names are sealed with thee, written that passed without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our Lord. Hey, who's original life? Hey, hallelujah, the original life. Listen. We are the Word made flesh today.
This is what the scripture says. Our names are singing. We think I'm perfect without sin. Yet we are anointed and inspired.
Inspiration, not Bible school. Inspiration. Yes, we are inspired by our God. We are called unto adoption,
to authority and power. In the saints we wait and join us.
Baba. He said, this is how you do it. Take note. He said, take note. That verse is loaded. Number one, he said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. It is the Lord himself. Oh. It is the Lord himself. Oh. He's not with Abraham. Oh. It's not a man, no. He will descend with a shout. That shout is a message. Hallelujah. What is the message? The message is, come out of Babylon. Listen, church. The entire message, listen, and I hope you will understand what I mean. The entire message, our evangelical field, it's not Pia Palos. Our evangelical field is warn your pastor. Go to the churches. Go to Babylon. Go to all those denominations. And give them the message. The message is loud and clear. Come out of Babylon. Come out of there. A sister was telling me, the sister said, what of this scripture that says, the time will come when seven women will hold onto one man. What scripture is that? Hallelujah. Somewhere in Isaiah chapter 4. Seven women will hold onto one man. And but then we said, we will eat our bread. We will take care of ourselves. That emphasis, we will eat our bread. Let us only bear your name. The name of that man. And some people are thinking that because there will be the population of women will be more than men. So there will be so much polygamy everywhere. That's where some pastors are teaching. It is not so. Those women, they are denominational churches. Denominational churches that will say, hold on to Jesus. We just want to be called Christians. We will bear your name, but we will serve you. We will serve you with our own doctrines. We will eat our own food. Hallelujah. We will eat our own food. But we only want to bear your name. But Jesus Christ is saying, I don't know whether that sister is here today. When I finish, are you there? Stand up now if you are here. Stand up, let me see you. Let me see you. Is the sister here? The sister that asked me that question, I think Amen from or Redeem you came from. Amen. This is the period where they will reject the word of God. Our evangelical field is the denomination. Come out of her, my people. That is the message. That is the shout. There are three stages for the rapture. Number one is the shout. Number two is the voice of the archangel. And number three is the trump of God. When these three stages are fulfilled, the rapture will strike. And the rapture has begun with the shout. If you don't hear the shout and respond rightly, you can never be partaker of the second stage. This is the time of the shout. It is the message. Through the voice of the seventh angel, the angel to the last church age, known as the Laodicean church age. Revelation chapter 3. Praise the Lord. That is the mystery. The devil has tried to fight the entire message. Something happened, and the hair of Samson was cut off. He became powerless, and the Philistines were feasting. But unknown to them, while in the prison, the hair began to grow again. This is the day of the latter rain. God is moving in His power again. By the anointing, Jesus reigns. And the latter rain is not power to cast out devils. The latter rain is not power to heal the sick. It's more than that. It's the anointing that establishes the believer. Positioning you for home going. That is the latter rain. It's a revelatory rain. The shout. That is what is on now in the agenda of God. If you're a believer of the ministry of William Branham, you have begun the rapture. Or at least you have seen the rapture. Because I say when you hear the shout, there is a right response and there is a wrong response. For as many that will respond rightly, you are already in the rapture. What happened? In Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. He said, at midnight, because they all slept while the bridegroom tarried. He has tarried all these years, and the condition of a slumbering has come upon the church. Until sometime in 1933, God decided to wake up all the virgins again. Through the ministry of William Branham, he said, at midnight, there was a cry made. Jesus said, call it cry. Apostle Paul called it shout. Behold, that is the message. The bridegroom coming. It is a message pointing the people not to these worldly things, but pointing the people to home going. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That is the midnight cry. And that ministry is fulfilled in the ministry of William Marion Branham. The shout. And he said, all the virgins arose. And they picked their lamps. The word. The Bible. The word. With oil in the lamp. Without oil, the lamp can never shine. The oil there is the Holy Ghost. They trim their lamp. There is trimming revelation. Removing all the errors that the denomination have brought into the gospel. Trim the lamp. Water baptism. Trim the correct revelation. Trim the evidence of the Holy Ghost. supreme what the, come back to the apostolic doctrines. Come back to genuine love among the brethren. Come back to true holiness in the church again. The word has entered the church, and the church has become worldly. Trim your lamp. But a part of those virgins did not trim their lamp, did not have enough oil. And because you don't have enough oil, praise the Lord. Amen. You see the condition of the intermittent believers all around. The emphasis is the oil. Without oil, if you are traveling, amen. If you are traveling, and you know where you are going, there will be no fuel stations there. Every true correct driver that knows the road, he will have extra jerrycan of oil. Oh yes. You know that this journey is dependent upon how many, you know, the oil that you have, the fuel you have in that vehicle. And this journey from earth to glory is determined by the Holy Ghost that you have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so like I'm saying, if you have not heard that shout, the message, and come out of the denomination. And when I say come out of the denomination, I am not just talking about changing the address of your church. Because you, the first and foremost, remember that the mark of the beast, first and foremost, is given where? In the forehead, and then in the right hand. Why? It's talking about the forehead there, is about how you receive God, how you the type of revelation, how you receive what you know, what you believe. They stop starting belief inside you. And they are the ones, no matter what you tell them, I will die Catholic. Mother Mary. We are the first church. Those are the things they stop in their head. We are the first church. Holy Father. We are the first, we are the first, we are the first. But you know it's a lie. The first church that God inaugurated on earth here happened at the upper room. That's where the church began. It began in Jerusalem, not in Rome. Peter was a Jew, not a Gentile. And the messenger to the Gentiles was not Peter. It was Paul. Amen. And if you are going to raise any cathedral in memory of any disciple, he should be St. Paul Cathedral among the Gentiles. Not St. Peter. Peter himself said it, that he is, his ministry is to the circumcision, the Jews. Apostle Paul is to the Gentiles. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is nowhere in history recorded that Peter ever went to Rome. It's Paul that went there. Amen. And so you have put something on your head. And you may be having that kind of thing on your head. The fact that you have left your denomination has not removed it from your head. Before you change your address, it must first leave your head. If not, when you leave that place and you go and start your church, it will be the same. You will go with some denominational hangover. No, you must not come. See, when Apostle Paul, who was, you know, who excelled in the religion of the Pharisees, when he came to the true knowledge of grace, everything he had, he threw them away. From the Pharisees, threw them away. So don't come into the message with any denominational hangover. The things that you do, the things that you teach, even how you organize your church, you should make sure that it reflects the scripture as much as we can. But listen, church. So now the shout is the next item in the agenda which we are fulfilling now. If you have left the denomination. Somebody called me and said, we have left the denomination, so where do we go? Even that question is a denominational question. You're always looking for a place to go. What did the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered in my name, That is the church. So many people think that it is not a church until you have some structures on ground. The musicians are there. Ordained pastors. Specially built altar. Then we have a hall. Beautified hall. And then big signboard. And then mommy and daddy picture superimposed in front there. So that you will know who owns the church. And then once you do that, then you go and change your clothes from coat to suit. Then you go to some Bible college so that when you are preaching, you can make reference to the time you were in the school of theology. So that the people listening to you will know that you go school where. You know what you are talking. Then church has started. Nothing like that. See, get a relationship with God. We are two or three are gathered in Cameroon, Bamenda. Where's that country? That city. Bamenda, the brethren that came. Every service, our life service, they gather in a brother's house. They left the church. The brother, the church he left, he is the one that built it for them. But when he came across this message through our broadcast, he tried to put it across to them. See. They were resisting it. And then, if you will go, he became an online member. Before you know what, in his compound, he said, they were so engrossed in one of our Tuesday services. Everybody will gather in the compound. Then don't they rent a seat. Now here and your wife start up. Then don't they rent seat. Where the carcass is. They are the eagles we gather. And before you know what, they were so engrossed until a thief know that when these people are in their online service, they know they pay attention to anything else. And while they were there watching, the thief came to steal their Okada, their motorbike, outside while they were all gathering inside, holding their water and praying. But as God will have it, the owner of the machine, the Lord told him, look outside. He had a voice that told him, look outside. And he looked and he noticed movement. He opened the door. The man don't carry the machine go. Before he raised alarm, the man was arrested. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm only trying to tell you how God works. See, get connected to God first before you look for any church. So I have left. Where do I go? That is a product of the shout. That is the question everyone that meets with this message, that is the question you will ask. Okay, what next? We have had the message. Where do I go? What do I do? Where? That question must come. But the reason why it comes is there is nowhere you can go and worship. Isaiah 28. All tables are full of vomit and there is no place clean. The Bible says so. For the eagles, nowhere to feed on. Well, this ministry started in an office with four people clapping hands. Even our family refused to join us. We said, go anywhere when I want to go. Here, we, now here, this message, now we will take time. Amen. When something happened in our former church, there was no seat. If you come and join us, we shall ask you. It was in a backyard, no signboard. How did you know we are here? Visit us. Some people will say it was in a dream. I saw the address. Some people will say from outside we had the people, they clap hand, now we branch. In the message, we know how to make noise. We didn't make noise, so that's why God gave us a place of worship for backyard. Where we can make all the noise we want to make here and we will not disturb anybody. Amen. So don't go and sit down and begin to plan how to start church. Church is not a business that you sit down and plan. People who want to set up business companies called church, they are the ones that sit down and look for a brother. Me and you will start. You will be my assistant. You will be the prophet. Then you will be the teacher. Then you will be the... So let's come together. Somebody left this church. I was telling some minister, I wanted to go and start his own. I was asking yesterday, I'm not hearing about him again. My brother there. Yesterday I got to know that he will approach some people. Come, I'll pay your house rent. I will give you allowance every month. Come and the brother say, brother, this is a distraction. You want to distract me, please? This is a distraction. Amen. Somebody wants to go to heaven. He's looking for a way to establish himself. You are saying, come, let's go and start ministry. There are some people that were sitting down here shouting, amen, amen. They used to sit in front here. They are no more here. Amen. Where are they? Where they are, lets you know how they understood what we are saying here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I must say this for the record. Because everything we say here, people hear it outside. I told you about somebody. You know, when you ministers, you want to start a ministry. If God call you, why not wait on the Lord? Eh? People are looking for some brethren somewhere in Suruleri, Aguda here. They decided to come together. And then they were looking for pastor. They came here to look for, they came to meet me some few years back. That they wonder if I can give them somebody. I said, where are you located? They said, Aguda here. Aguda and this place, now the same place now. Why do you have to gather there again? So I told them, I said, well, you are free. Go into the church. Any minister you meet that is ready to go with you, let him follow you. But for me to call somebody and give you, I said, no, baby, call the person. So I cannot tell the person, say, may he follow you. But you are free. Go and look for whosoever. Well, they couldn't get anybody here. One of those noisemakers that left here then went out now. They now called him to come and pastor them. And so he is the one now that when he see the church, don't begin grow small, small. Then his revelation is changing that only he will chop the tithe. Now, so they had a meeting. Why this one like this? Why this one like this? Then they went to John Ministry, where he associates with. And they advised him, you see, you are taking it easy with these people. That is why they are coming to challenge you. Go and dissolve the thinking board, the elders' council, dissolve all of them, and appoint a new one. The man came and said, because the people took the matter to their headquarters at Shomolu. And instead of them to settle them, they called him behind and began to tell him, now this nonsense, when Moses, they teach you that they don't hear. That's why they want to trouble you now. Go and dissolve it. He came on a Sunday and dissolved everything. How can you dissolve the people that appointed you? So they told him, what did they wrong with this man, sir? You dissolve us? When we call you, make you call? So they went to the police. See this man, now we start this church. Now we go call and say, make you call the priest for us. Now you want to take over the church. So police, I heard last week, say, you should leave them. Now you come meet them there. Don't come and scatter their church. Leave them and go. What a shame for somebody who claims to be in the message. You know now why they are in the message. Praise the Lord. Why I'm saying this is, I say your response matters. The response will position you. Until there is nobody that is a believer with you, you will remain the only church member in that place, fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost until the rapture comes. Thank God. God has made it possible for us to have a television station. Broadcasting live, both in the internet, live. What you are watching now, they are watching it on the internet, all over the world also. So, you cannot be desolate of fellowship. You can fellowship with us. On Friday, I received, two Fridays ago, somebody sent me a text, I don't know, maybe Cameroon or so, that he was thanking the Lord, watching us like this and joining us. He said he received the Holy Ghost in his sitting room. In his sitting room. He received the Holy Ghost. He said he found himself all through the night. He was slain. I was just speaking in tongues for the first time all night. So distance is not a barrier. I'll just connect. Our God is omnipresent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, after the shout, the next stage, after you have come out, is now, and that is the next stage we are waiting for. The next stage is, remember, it's an agenda, so I'm giving you the stage by stage now. The next stage is the voice of the archangel. That is, listen, church, that is, we are talking about the revelation that God gave us in this age. We have, remember that in Revelation chapter 6, we have seven seals. In Revelation chapter 5, the book that was sealed from within and without with seven seals. And Apostle John, the angel, opened it and he saw, and we have treated all that, the opening of the seals. But watch it here. The seals are not fulfilled in that chronology like that. One, then two, then three, then four, then five. By the time we come to seal number six is fulfilled after seal number seven is fulfilled. Now what is seal number seven? Seal number seven, when the seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. Hallelujah. And that is in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. Praise God. You know, this sister said, the reason why she come here, come make this place her church. Now, because where she did before, they know they go near the book of Revelation. In her church, they know teach rich book of Revelation. And it's one of the big denomination. So, you have opportunity now to hear something. The reason is, it is not given to them to teach it. And God decided to raise a man that didn't go to Bible school now to let you know it. And I didn't know it from a man that went to Bible school too. Listen, church. Now, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. There was silence, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Half an hour. Silence. Seal 1 to 6 opened, there were activities. But when it came to seal 7, why? Seal 7 is open. The silence there is because of something that called for that silence. How do I know? Because certainly for the past 2,000 years, Christ has been sitting on the mercy seat, interceding until the last elect comes in. By the time he stands up, amen. Somebody who has been sitting like that for the past 2,000 years, it calls the whole attention of heaven. What is he about to do? He stands up. Praise the Lord. That is why Revelation chapter 8, take note of this. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal, is tied to Revelation chapter 10, the first six verses there. He stands up from Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. That is where he stands up. Corroborated in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Let's read it. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeyed towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gates. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. See where my emphasis is in verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. He rises up from the mercy seat. That rising up that Jesus was referring to is in Revelation chapter 10. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 10. Chapter 10. The first 6 verses there. And I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his right and in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I had, and which I saw, stand upon the sea, and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. This angel is the same angel, the same Christ that has been sitting at the mercy seat. That description of that mighty angel is Christ. That is why he says he lifts up the book in his hand and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no longer. Salvation is over. We cry like a lion roaring. That is the second stage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. After the shout, the voice of the archangel. That archangel is another word, the mighty angel in Revelation chapter 10. Where we read now. He stands up and shouts. The next stage we are waiting for now is what the 7 thunders will utter. Remember, nobody knows what it is. John heard what they were saying, so only John knew what they said. He was about to write, and the angel told him, don't write it. Seal those things that the thunders uttered. It is another message. God is going to raise men on earth here for the next move. The voice of the 7 thunders that will sound, that is the next stage. Then, after the sound, amen, hallelujah, they are saying something that gives you rapturing faith. For now, the shout does not give you rapturing faith. The shout enables you to come and take position spiritually to receive the instruction that will give you rapturing faith. Rapturing faith is the faith you will have by a revelation you have that any other thing around you, you throw it away. You are ready for homegoing, because it is expected, like William Branham said, that what they will say will enable us know the wedding day. We will know the new name that Jesus Christ is coming with. We will know how we will go. We will know. We will know. That is why it must be secret. Jesus said, the day and the hour, no man knows, not even the Son knows. It's in the hand of God alone. He has sealed it until the appropriate time. We are looking at the divine agenda. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, right now, go ahead. Plan your life. Build your houses. Look for a job. Go to school. Do whatever you want to do. Amen. But don't lose sight of the message. It positions you because soon, and I believe it will be any time from now. Hallelujah. The signs everywhere, around us, in the air, the starry sky, everywhere pointing that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. It's coming soon. Maranatha. He is coming soon. Sooner than we have ever imagined. And the aim of the divine timetable is for us to know how soon. How soon. So that you take your eternal destination more seriously than we see some up till now. I was explaining something to one of my daughters at home yesterday. She asked me a very interesting question. Allow me to mention it here also. Where she said, Daddy, I want to ask something. That she's afraid that one day she will meet God. And God will ask her the gift of hair that God gave you. What did you do to that hair to improve it? Because we have told them to leave the hair natural. And she feels that the hair could be more beautiful if you touch it here and here, you know. And that God gave you the hair. Well, I answered her. To start with, if you know the meaning of a gift, the African woman has other gifts, but she does not have the gift of hair. The people that have the gift of hair, now they are Indians and the Asians. But for the African woman, you don't have the gift of hair. What you have the gift is a rubber body. You have good hips. That is what Oyibo envy you for. You have good hips. That's the gift. You don't have a gift of hair. But I quickly say, the reason why you ask that question is simple. Because we had just finished talking with her, and she was giving me the testimony of a woman pastor that she was close to, that I personally know also. We knew ourselves before she got converted, and I knew how she lived a rough life, very rough life. I knew her personally. You know what I mean? I know her personally. Now, she got born again. She's with a mountain of fire. She's going from place to place. They are sending her. She's planting churches. And she was telling me that woman even has no time to make her hair. That's a woman that lived all her life in America, and schooled there up to her master's degree before she came to Nigeria. She's married with children. Pretty woman. Yet, she has no time since she gave her life to Christ. We just finished talking about that. And now, my young daughter there at home, she's telling me that woman has no time. If you say, Mommy, let's make your hair. She will say, Come, how long will I sit down here? Because we redeem the time, for the days are evil. Any time I have, I want to study. Okay, you'll be walking on my hair. I hope it will not disturb. Can I read? Can I be reading my Bible? While you are doing it? How long? I don't have time. Make another sit down. I say, they make hair. Now, I told her, I said, I don't know how I can demonstrate this thing I showed her. Now, we have what I call the borderline Christians. Now, take this as the borderline between the world and Christianity. Now, this is the line that divides the world from the Christians. And we are not to love the world. For the love of the world is enmity with God. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. Some of us are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Instead of us to distance ourselves from the world, here is where we are, very close to the borderline. Do you understand? You are very close to the borderline. So everything happening over there, you didn't see them. But you are a Christian now, you want to cross, you will come back. Then you look at them and begin to compare yourself with them. But if you are far, will you see what is happening there? Now, it's both ways also. There are people that are in the world, but they are also borderline. They are the ones that seek people going to church. They are happy. They hear testimony. They too will follow and go. Sometimes they don't come back. Sometimes they don't come back. Borderline unbelievers. If they are an unbeliever, be an unbeliever now. If they are a Christian, be a Christian now. Now, this young girl is a borderline believer. That is why she's seeing her hair. She's comparing her hair with those Hollywood movie actors. With people in the world. We are not to conform to the world. But be you transformed. You are supposed to be transformed. By the renewing of your mind. That's what the Bible says. Kick out all these things. Nobody says you should leave your hair to be smelly. Wash your hair as you wash your body. Take care of your hair. But don't dress like the world. I reminded her again. I preached a message. The beauty of holiness. What is the attraction in holiness? The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness is, Christ is referred to as the lily of the valley. Why is it described as the lily of the valley? Because the lily is grown in a valley where, you know, a lot of mud is under. A lot of dirt is under. Yet that flower, it grows from that muddy ground. When you look at it, it is admirable. Now, what gives this attraction? The attraction there is where it is growing and showing its beauty despite the things that are under. That is the beauty of holiness. That you are in this world and you have not allowed the world to contaminate you. That is the beauty of holiness. That is what makes us attractive. That you are walking in the world, but you don't allow the world to contaminate you. You are in that town meeting, but you never follow them to do what they are doing. You are in a secondary school, you are in a university, but you don't follow them to do what they are doing. Anywhere you are, you do something that stands you out. When a Christian stands, if you are going anywhere, do something deliberate that will make you look different from where you are going. Do it deliberately. So anywhere you go, they will know where you belong, who you are, by just looking at you. Now, see, they are the borderline Christians. Now, you see, they forgot that once it is a wedding where unbelievers are going to come, that it is a time for you now to show them who you are by the way you will appear. Instead, they want to dress like they go to other weddings outside and they see how they dress there. They carve their own dress like those unbelievers that do. And why say, hey, now wedding now. Now wedding. You're a borderline Christian. A borderline Christian.